Welcome to Tori Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Dalet, Chapter 34. The previous parak found Yirmiyahu imprisoned in the Chatzar Matara only a few months before the Chorban. Parak 34 happens earlier in Tzidkiyahu's reign, before Yirmiyahu is imprisoned. The parak opens with a prophecy towards Tzidkiyahu, telling him to stop the disastrous war and warning him that he would not win. In fact, this war would be his personal downfall. But the real action of this parak begins in verse 8, which probably happened even earlier in Tzidkiyahu's reign. Maybe even before Tzidkiyahu began his revolution, soon after the shock of Galut Yehoyachin, the exile of the upper class to Babylonia. There's a question raised back in chapter 24, which we didn't address at the time. Chapter 24 discuss two baskets of figs, the good figs and the bad figs. The good figs were so good and so delicious that anyone who looked at them would desire to eat them. These figs represented the Jews of Babylonia, the exiles of Galut Yehoyachin, who were going to build a positive society, one that can fix the evils of the Judean society before the exile. The bad figs, on the other hand, as Yirmiyahu says, "Tainim haraot asher lo teochal lemei roa," the figs that couldn't be eaten because they were so bad, says Yirmiyahu, "Kein etein et tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda v'etzarav v'etshirit Yerushalayim ha'nisharim be'eretz hazot v'yoshvim be'eretz Mitzrayim." That's what's going to happen to Tzidkiyahu and his officers and the Jews that are staying in the land of Israel. And what's going to happen to them? Back in Parak 24, "Unitatim l'za'ava l'ra'a l'chomam l'chot ha'aretz," they're going to be abandoned, they're going to be disgraced, they're going to be a curse in all the lands that they are living in and the lands that I'm going to spread them out to. Now, this doesn't really seem fair. Why is it that the upper class that was exiled to Babylonia gets to be the good figs, gets to have the future, gets to be promised houses and gardens and a close relationship to Hashem? Well, the people who, through no choice of their own, the lower class who ended up staying in Israel, they're the ones that are going to suffer more. They're the ones that are called the rotten figs. They're the ones that are going to be the za'ava. They're going to be a disgrace. They're going to be abandoned. It doesn't seem fair. The answer is in this perek. Let's see what happened to cause them to become rotten figs. The structure of the Judean society before Galut Yehoyachin was one of corruption, promulgated by King Yehoyakim, who was the model of corruption himself. We learned about how he used slaves to build his palace, even at a time of a drought when people were so hungry and had no food, and he didn't pay his workers. But in that society, everyone took advantage of everyone else, everyone who was one rung lower than them on the social ladder. But then suddenly came Galut Yehoyachin, and the entire upper class was expelled. This means that the poor, the lower class, suddenly became the upper class. There were empty farms and fields to take over. There was economic opportunity. And now we have a grand experiment. While the shock was settling in on the exiles that were now in Babylonia, there was a different shock settling in the land of Israel. How was this lower class going to form their new society? Would they be righteous? Would they continue the corruption? Would they fix the ills of the past? Now let's start the action of our parak in chapter 34, pasuk chet, verse 8. Hadavar asher hayal Yirmiyahu me'et Hashem achrei krut hamelech Tzidkiyahu brit et kol ha'am asher bishalayim l'kro lahem dror. This is what happened when Tzidkiyahu made a covenant with the nation in Jerusalem that they were going to proclaim freedom. What was this freedom that they were proclaiming? So verse 9 tells us, l'shlach ishet avdo v'ishet shifchato ha'ivri v'ha'ivriya chafshim. They are going to free their slaves. L'vilti avadbam v'yudi achi u'ish. That no Jewish person should enslave his fellow man. Now, this idea, l'kro lahem dror, is a very specific phrase to proclaim freedom. It comes from Leviticus 25:10 from Vayikra and describes the Yovel, the Jubilee year. And it says, "V'kadashtem et shnat ha-chamishim shana ukratem dror ba'aretz, kol yoshva yovel hi tiyelechem, v'shavtem ish et al chuzato v'ish al mishpachto tashuvu." Every 50th year, all the slaves are freed, and all the slaves go back to their own portion of land that they were given out all the way back to the times of Yoshua ben Nun when they divided up the land of Israel. All of the different properties go back to the families. No one is enslaved anymore. And also, nobody has more land than anyone else anymore. Everyone gets their portion back. Now, what's the message of Yovel? What's the message of proclaiming freedom, which you know is written on the Liberty Bell in America? The message is that nobody is really better than anybody else. Yes, over the course of 50 years, there's going to be an economy and land will be bought and sold and people will be bought and sold. People will end up being sold into slavery because perhaps they were too poor to pay their debts, or perhaps they robbed somebody and the Beit Din, the judges, the court will sell them into slavery in order to pay back for what they stole. But at the end of the day, 50 years, at least once in a generation, everything goes back to being equal. Nobody is better, nobody is richer than anybody else. And what happened was, in the land of Israel, nobody kept it. The Yovel wasn't kept. It was an incredibly difficult thing to do, and therefore they just didn't do it. And now Tzidkio is forming his own society. And we see what his priorities are and what kind of society he wants to make. We see that he is now fulfilling his mission to be this leader that we discussed in Parak 23, this leader called Hashem Tzidkenu, that Hashem is righteous. Tzidkio is trying to make a just society, one where people really are equal. Tzidkio makes a covenant, a brit, mimicking the actions of his father, Yoshio. Yoshio wanted to get rid of idolatry, and therefore he made a covenant with the people that they would all give up their idolatry. Tzidkio wants to cure the ills and corruptions of society, and therefore he makes a covenant that everyone's going to give up their slaves. People, the lower class, should know what it feels like to be oppressed. They should realize that there really aren't castes in society. People are people and deserve to be treated as such no matter what their status is. Amazingly, the people do it. Pasuk Yud, verse 10, Vayishmu'u kol ha-sarim v'kol ha'am asher ba'u ba'brit l'shlach ish et avdo v'ish et shivchato chafashim. They actually do, the officers, the people, the regular people, they free their slaves. L'vilti avad b'am'o, they're no longer going to work them. Vayishmu'u, they listen, vayishalechu, and they set them free. Note here the repetition of the word vayishmu'u. They're not just doing it because they want to. They're doing it because they are listening to Tzidkio. They were convinced by him. Tzidkio is the leader, and they are going to go forward and create a better world. Everything seems to be going well. Tzidkio is fulfilling his mandate. He will be the true son of his father, Yoshio, the complement to his father's reforms against idolatry. But then everything changes. Verse 11. Vayashuvu acharechein, they come back after this. Vayashivu et ha'avadim ve'et ha'shvachot asher shalchu chafashim. They go and they go back and get those same slaves that they had set free. Vayichbishum, and they capture them. La'avadim u'lishvachot, and they reinstate them as slaves and maids. The word vayichbosh, to capture, is not a kind word. It's not one where you got them back by convincing them that life was better with you. It's not one where the slaves wanted to go back. They were captured. This is a slave trade. There's such cruelty here in this pasuk that once these people had tasted the taste of freedom, their former masters decide, you know what? It's really not so fun to live without a slave. Oh, I don't really like doing my own laundry or my own planting or my harvesting. Wait, I can't bring in as much of a crop if I don't have slaves to do the work for me for free. And they go back and they change their minds. And despite the fact that they had just made a breed, a covenant with Sidkiyo, they decide, we don't want to do it. We don't want to live without slaves. These are people, remember, these are the lower class. These are the people who were oppressed themselves. And now they are going and oppressing others. It would have almost been better had they never let their slaves go than to free their slaves, give their slaves a taste of what it means to be free, and then go and take them back in such a cruel manner because of their own laziness and their own economic ambitions. We're the upper class now. So now we can treat others the way the upper class used to treat us. They just moved up the ladder and they started doing the exact same thing. Our grand experiment is a failure. The lower class were just as bad as the upper class. They just didn't have as much opportunity to show it. But now they take their slaves, free them, and then say, hey, wait a second. Life was better with slaves. Let's take them back. And Sidkiyo, the one who made the breed with them, he doesn't stop them. Do you remember what Yoshio did? He sent his army into people's houses, armed guards to check and see if they had idols. Now that had its own problems because then people started lying about their idols. But Sidkiyo does nothing. Hashem's response is so disappointed. Verse 13, Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Anochi karati brit avotechem biyom hotziotam me'eretz Mitzrayim mibeit avadim. Lemor, when you left Egypt from the house of slavery, says Hashem, I made a brit with you. I made a covenant with you. Verse 14, Miket sheva shanim tishalchu ishet achiv ha'ivri asher imker lecha va'avdecha sheish shanim v'shilachto chafshi me'imach. I made a covenant with you that you would not work a slave for more than 6 years. On the 7th year, you would set your Jewish slave free. This is the first mitzvah in Parshat Mishpatim after the Aseret Hatzibrot, after the Ten Commandments. The first mitzvah is about setting free your slaves. What's going on here? Yirmiyahu saying, you were slaves in Egypt. You know what it means to be oppressed. When I took you out, we made a deal that you would never oppress anybody else. You were slaves yourselves. You can have slaves. You can own them for the purpose of rehabilitation because it helps society, but for no longer than 6 years. Don't ever think that they actually belong to you. And now, you people, says Yirmiyahu, you let your slaves go free. You did the right thing, and then you brought them back? How could you? You said to yourselves, no, they really do belong to me. After accepting that they didn't, you decided, well, no, really, they do. And therefore, says Yirmiyahu, your punishment will fit the crime. Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, Lachin ko amar Hashem, atem lo shamatem elai lekro dror ish la'achiv v'ish l're'ehu. You didn't listen to me to free your slaves? Hineni kore lachem dror, Neum Hashem. I'm going to free you. I'm going to abandon you. I've been watching you. I've been caring for you. I've had my eye on you all these years. But you broke your covenant. You broke the bond that we made that you would never, ever think that another person can belong to you. You're my slaves, says Hashem. But you should never have slaves to slaves. And therefore, I'm going to free you from my protection. And what's going to happen to you? I'm going to give you over at El HaCherev, El HaDeber, El HaRa'av, V'natati Yadchem L'Za'ava, L'Cholmam L'Chot HaAretz. I'm going to give you over to the sword, the pestilence, and the famine, and I'm going to abandon you to all the nations of the world. Notice the same language as describing what would happen to the bad figs. Yirmiyahu goes on, and he says, the people who violated my brit will be asher kartu lifnei ha'egel, asher kartu lishnayim by Rubein B'tarav, will be cut into parts like a calf where that's cut into two parts and somebody can walk between its parts. Now this is clearly, the cutting of a calf is clearly a reference to the Brit Bein HaBtarim, the covenant that Hashem made with Avraham Avinu, where he cut two animals and Avraham walked between the two parts of the animal. Why are we suddenly referencing the Brit Bein HaBetzarim here in this parak of Yirmiyahu? So let's remember what the Brit Bein HaBetzarim meant. That was the place where Hashem made a covenant with Avraham. Avraham would continue following in the ways of Hashem and teach his children the ways of Hashem. And Hashem, in turn, would be Avraham's God, and he would take Avraham's children along a certain path. And that path, says Hashem to Avraham, led to a certain place, the Ger Yezar Echa, the Eretz Lo Lahem. Your children are going to be a stranger in a land that does not belong to them. Ba'avadum, ve'inuotam arba meot shana. They're going to enslave them, and they're going to torture them for 400 years. But, says Hashem, you should know that after that time, I will take them out with great wealth, and I'll lead them to Eretz Yisrael. The acceptance and the getting of Eretz Yisrael depends on having been slaves. Why? Why are those two so linked? So it's not that you happen to have been slaves, so therefore you should empathize with your slave, and then you'll end up getting to Eretz Yisrael. No. The Brit Bein HaBetzarim says that there was a reason you were put into slavery. It's part of your destiny. It's part of your history. It is part of the founding of your nation. And that is so you can develop into a nation with empathy. One that fights against social classes. The slavery was purposeful. And only by understanding this can you deserve Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, must be created on a foundation of empathy and lack of corruption. You had to be slaves in order to get Eretz Yisrael, because you had to empathize with people who had less than you. You had to know what it meant to be tortured so that you will never, ever torture anybody else. And now, this bitter disappointment of Bnei Yisrael, you've shown yourself, says Yirmiyahu, to have no compassion. You took the slaves back because it wasn't convenient for you. And in doing so, you went against everything that you stood for as a nation. But it's more than that. You were the ones who were downtrodden. You were the ones who were taken advantage of just a few years earlier by the upper class, by the rich. You were the ones that could actually create a good society, because you know what it means to be just. You were like the slaves that left Egypt. How could you take advantage of those lower than you just because you happen to have more power right now? That's what they did to you. The bully was expelled, and now you've become the new bully. This is a bitter disappointment in the people and in Tzidkiyahu and the leaders, who, unlike Yoshiyahu, don't stop the people. They just let it happen. Tzidkiyahu starts off this parak as someone with convictions, with a moral compass. And he ends this parak doing more damage than good and showing himself to be too weak-minded to stand by his ideals. And this weakness causes others pain. It seems that this incident also breaks Tzidkiyahu, as we never see him do anything like this again. From now on, he always backs down to the people. He always gives in. He never stands up. Now we know why he won't be Hashem Tzidkenu. And Jerusalem, under his watch, won't end up being Ir HaTzedek. Now we understand why the people in Jerusalem are the rotten figs. And it didn't have to be this way. We must never forget that at our core, we are the slaves in Egypt. The second we find ourselves treating others as slaves, we must remember our mandate as a Jewish people is the Brit Bein HaBetzarim, the covenant of the halves. And if we don't follow it, Hashem will abandon us as well. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.